Well, I'm excited about this morning of standing up here. Well, I'm excited. I get the blessing of being here before you with one purpose, to give to you the truth about what God says about himself. Who believes that Satan has a theology? Anybody? Who believes he has whole denominations that teach his theology? Anybody believe that? Yep. There are whole systems of millions of people out there today, and pastors are standing in pulpits, and guess what? It's either one of two systems, according to 1 John 4:6, which look at the notes today. There's only two systems of thought. There's the spirit of, say it, truth, and the spirit of error. Say it again. How many systems? Two. What are they? Spirit of truth and the spirit of what? Error. Now, where do you want to go? Come on, talk to me. Where do you want to be? Truth. When you're in truth, you have, say this with me, discernment. And you know when you listen to a sermon, you can say what? That's a good sermon because it lined up scripturally. It was 100% in alignment with God's revelation about himself. You said that's an excellent sermon because it was scriptural. And you can also say what? That was a horrible sermon. It was Luciferian theology because none of it lined up with revelation. Amen? And you know, you're not confused. Confounded mind means what? What's a confounded mind? A confused mind. You can't discern between what? What's good and what's evil. You don't know. What's the main problem with Christians today? No discernment. Why do we have all these false teachers? Because we don't have good Bereans in churches and saying when a guy comes in to, like a Protestant pope and he's a one-man preacher, he starts teaching false doctrine and they don't even know it. Listen closely. There's two languages. There's Luciferian language, which represents what? Error. And there is what? Biblical language. Of all 66 books, it represents what? Truth. You need to know when a person starts talking that they just left biblical language and they're into Luciferian language. Who agrees? That's Luciferian. And what's the purpose? To deceive your mind, shut your mind down, to take root in the mind, to replicate the darkness in your mind, and then to turn you into a what? A deceived, rebellious worshiper of Satan, an idolater. Who agrees? That's the purpose of it. The title of this message is, everybody have your notes? Going along with the thing we've been talking about with middle knowledge, Satan's free will campaign. Say it with me out loud. What's it called? Satan's free will campaign. All of theology comes down to these two words. Ready? Here are the two words. We'll kind of sum up a lot of things I got written down here for you. When a person says, I have free will, instantly when they say this, what are they doing? They're tipping their hand that they're ignorant. They're deceived. Why? Why? God's word unequivocally states, there cannot be ontologically, which means the nature of being, ontology means being, you're not going to find this in your notes, okay? You cannot have two independent beings. It's an ontological impossibility. Say it with me. What is it? An ontological. What does ontology mean? The study of being. Say it. The study of what? Being. The nature of God says that he's what? There's only one God. Who agrees? Only one. And this one God is what? The only what? Creator. When does he begin asserting his independence? Where in the Bible does he begin asserting his independence? Because he does. He begins, there's a place in the Bible he begins to assert his independence. Where is it, do you think? Ready? Genesis chapter 1. Come on. Verse 1. He asserts what? His independence, right? His sovereignty. And what else? His omnipotence. His almighty God, right? The Creator. The only Creator. Was there anyone there with him that acted upon his will or his knowledge? Let me ask you a question. Ready? Well, first of all, was there anybody there?
No.
Was he alone?
Yes.
There's no angel. There was a time there's no angels. Who agrees? Why? Because the angels were what? Say it.
Created.
So they had a what?
Beginning.
God was alone because he's what? Say it. Uncreated. Eternal. When did God begin? He never began. He's eternal, right? Psalms 90, he is God from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 90, verse 2, thou art God from eternity. No beginning. Let me ask you another question. Ready? Does God's will have a cause? Watch this. He does not have a cause for his will outside of himself, but his will has a cause, and that cause is what? Himself. Amen? It's himself. He is the cause of his own will. It's his will. Amen? It's his independent, autonomous, say it with me, what's the word? Autonomous. What does autonomous mean? Auto is what? Self, like an autocrat, is self-rule. Auto, said, what is auto? Auto is self. Namas is law, so it's self-law. Say it.
A law
unto himself. Who is the only one that's a law unto himself? God. He is a law unto himself. Is there any law above God? So it's called, say it with me, write this in your notes if you don't have it down, ex lex. Say it with me, what is it? Ex lex, which means what? Ex lex means ex, watch this. Ex is outside of, ex lex, law, it means outside of law. Say it with me, ex, which means what? Outside of, lex means law. So God is what? Outside of what? All law. There's no law that pertains to God. Who agrees? None. Now think about this with me. When God created, was there anything that was independent that acted upon God's will? Was there anything independent that would be a cause of God's will? Talk to me. Is there anything that's independent of God? There would be something other than himself to act upon his will. What's the question? What's the cause of God's will? Is God the only cause? Talk to him. He can be the only cause. There can be no other cause. Because he is from what? Eternity. His will is from what? Eternity. When you speak of God looking down there, and I was raised in this system, this false free will, Luciferian system of thought. This is the college I went to, the church I went to in Nashville. They were in Satan's free will campaign. Now, am I saying that everybody's in that they're not saved? No. Am I saying that everybody's in it, everything they think about God is false? No. I'm saying with this one theological doctrine of God's sovereignty, that it is false. I'm saying that you cannot mature unless you understand the sovereignty of God. There's no maturity. I'm talking about true growth in the Lord, in the doctrine of who God is. You're not growing. You have an immature understanding of God. Does God's will have a cause? Please say with me. Yes, he does. What's the cause? Himself. If you're in the camp, you say this, ready? You say, well, God chose me. Who believes that God chose you? God chose me. Now, watch this. I was raised in that camp, and they said that God chose you. But guess what they said? They told us why he chose. There's a reason why he chose. And the reason is that God, listen to the language, okay, looked down the corridors of time. God saw what I would do. I would choose him. I would believe. I would do. He looked. He observed. He saw. He learned what I would do. Now listen to that language. You just left biblical language and you've entered into Luciferian language. Who called it? What did you just do? You used what kind of empirical, say it, empirical language. The language of what? Observation. What is empiricism? Tell me what empiricism is. Empiricism states it's the theory of knowledge based on presupposing the reliability of your human senses for the basis of knowledge. I know because I what? Observed. I saw. Empirically. Right? So when you say that God looked into the corridors of time and saw what you would do, watch this. What are you saying? You just made God's will dependent. Say it with me. Come on. What did you just do? You made God's will what? Dependent. Most Arminians, they have not deduced out their system of thought. Because we take the doctrine of free will. Let me define what I'm saying by that. Free, independent from God, autonomous, self-law, self-determined, that the liberty of indifference, libertarian free will, that when I come to a crossing road, I am free to go either right or left. There's no determinism, not even my will, not even God. I am God. Nothing operates. That's what libertarian free will means. Nothing is operating on my will. My will is so sacred, it's so exalted. It is godlike. Why? Because when I say that my will is independent, I'm using the language of deity. Did you catch that? I'm asserting that I'm God. Co-equal with God. I'm asserting that I'm like God. Say it with me. What am I? Like God. I want to be like God. I want to be what? Free. Independent. Dependent upon my will alone. My choice, when I come to a crossing road, that's the liberty of indifference. Two incompatible systems, two incompatible paths. I don't even know which way I'm going to go. And guess what? On your paper, what do we have at the very top? Process theology, say it. Process theology. What else? Open theology and what? Middle knowledge. All three of these have one thing in common. What is it they all have in common? Ready? Please write it down. They all have this in common. They all believe in libertarian free will. They all believe that man's will is what? You need to define what you mean by this. Man's will is, ready? Independent from God. Free from God. Totally free. In order for man to say that, guess what he must be? Please listen to logic. In order for man to say that my will, nothing influences my will, I'm totally free, independent, autonomous, I'm self-determined, not even God operates on my will, in order to assert that, you must be all, say it, knowing. To say nothing is superintending my choice at this moment, in order to assert that, you must be omniscient, all-knowing. Who agrees? You have to be. So what are you asserting? I'm God. You see? In this whole system of thought, you have God becomes the creature. That's the purpose of it. The purpose comes from one mind of free will. It comes from the mind of Satan. The purpose is to dethrone God and to enthrone Satan. That's the very purpose of it. I'm going to make a statement right now. And I've got a lot of free will friends that I love. That I really, really love. And I believe with all my heart they're saved. So this is not to hate them or go on a campaign like the Inquisition and burn my free will friends. This is just a cry out to them to be what? Honest. To be consistent. Self-consistent with your system of thought. To be truly, truly honest with what you're saying. Do you realize what you're saying? Here's a statement I want to make. Ready? God Satan calling. God, ready? God hates free will. Say it with me. God hates free will. God hates it. You know why I know it? God hates it. I know God hates it. Would that be important to a show that? Come on. Critical, right? That God hates free will. Let's go to our notes. Let me read the very beginning right here. So many Christians have no idea of the historical roots of the theology that their particular denomination teaches. It is my opinion that large numbers of Christians that are dedicated to going to their church every Sunday are not dedicated to the truth, but to their church tradition. How many agree with that? Tradition. You think our Lord talked about this? You think our Lord had anything to say about this truth versus tradition? How'd you like to hear about what our Lord said? Is our Lord listening to this sermon right now? Now, do you think I want to please Him? Guess what I want? All my heart, I want to please Him this morning. Everything inside of me, I want to worship Him according to this. Now watch. One of the systems here, watch this, free will, or what I'm espousing, there's no such thing as free will. There's not even an argument in the Bible for it. Not even an argument, nowhere in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. Not even an argument. It doesn't exist. There's not a verse that asserts it. Not a verse. There's a lot of people making claims and assertions, but guess what? No arguments. Our Lord teaches us that we should worship the Lord in what? The Father in what? Truth. Say it with me. Truth. Do you think it upsets Him we worship Him outside of truth? Come on, talk to me. What's it called? Please say it. Idolatry. Right? What's the first of the Ten Commandments? Well, He said, you shall have what? No other God before me. Can a system of thought take you and turn you into your own God? Talk to me. Come on. That's exactly what Satan did. Who agrees? Turned himself into his own God. And how did he do it? With the doctrine of free will. You know how I know God hates it so much? Because the very first creature invented it, that was Satan, the creature that God damned to hell for eternity because of what? The doctrine of, ready? Five I wills. Isaiah 14 and verse 14, and the last of all the five wills is kind of a summation of all of it. What's he say? What does Satan say? I will. What's he saying? Self-determined. Who agrees? Pride, right? Proverbs 6, God says what? Verse 7, He says, I hate what? Of the seven things, the abomination of the Lord, what's number one on his hit list? What is it? Pride. What's the very first sin? Pride. What caused the fall of the angels? Pride. What caused the fall of all humanity? Pride. Coming out from under the authority of God's Word. Who wants to honor God this morning? Do you know how we honor Him? By submitting ourselves to His revelation of what He says about Himself. Who agrees? And say, I believe, Lord. I want to honor You and I want to worship You in spirit and in truth. God hates free will so bad because from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22, what's He screaming through all this? His will. Amen? It's about His will. His independent, autonomous, He's the only one that has what kind of a will? Free will. He is not dependent. Is He dependent? Come on, talk to me. Is He dependent? Is His knowledge dependent? Talk to me. Is He a dependent Noah? What did Isaiah say in Isaiah 40:14? Guess what Isaiah said. Ready? He says, who taught Him knowledge? Well, say it with me. Who taught Him knowledge? I love it. Reductio ad absurdum. It's absurd. He's all-knowing. He can't learn. He can't observe. His knowledge is eternal. He's never had a new thought. He's never had a first thought, second thought. He's never had a last thought. All of His thoughts right now are present with Him at one time. And they always will be. He knows all of His thoughts, knows Himself exhaustively. What's the object of His knowledge? Himself. There's nothing independent to know. Who agrees? There's nothing to know. Who taught Him knowledge? Come on, say it with me. Who taught Him knowledge? Who taught God? Did God observe? Come on, did God observe? Say it with me. There is nothing to observe. There's nothing. Pardon?
Known to
God are all His works. Acts 15:18, say with me out loud. Known, thank you, to God from all eternity are all His works. Known. What is truth? Truth is what God thinks. Say it with me. What is truth? Come on. Come on. What is truth? It's what God thinks. What is this room right now? What is it? It is the creation of what God has always thought. It's a couple of words that many of us have to get over, okay? To really assert their knowledge of free will. One of those is called creation. Say it with me. Come on. They've got to totally do away with the word creation. Because what are you? Say, what are you? A what? Creature. And everything about you is what? Say it. Created. Your thoughts, your will, your words, your actions. It's all what? Say it. Created. There's only one cause. There's only one will. There's only one creator. Right? And they have to get around the word independent. To have two independent beings, it is what? Say it with me. Impossible. Right? Once God creates, ipso facto, by the very nature of the fact, once He creates, everything that He creates is, say it, dependent. Do you agree? It's dependent. What's it dependent upon? God for your existence. You don't exist. Your will, your thoughts, your life, everything is what? Say it. Dependent upon a what? Creator. I have a creator. What about you? You better remember have a creator? Everything has a creator. Let's continue reading. Watch. Let's lay down right now what Jesus said about tradition and truth. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to Me with their what? Mouth and honor Me with their what? lips, but their heart is far from it. Do you agree with that's happening today? Whole denominations. Up there, oh, how we love Jesus. The rapture takes place, and what are they still singing? Oh, how we love Jesus. And they're here. Amen? And they're worshiping what? Just what he said. Another Jesus. What did Paul say? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, I'm afraid you're going to be deceived, just like Eve was deceived. 2 Corinthians 11. And you will do what? Receive, say it with me, another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. Right? There are people that are deceived. Please say with me, I don't want to be deceived. How can you not be deceived? You have to do what? Get into the Word of God. Amen? And see what it says. Not a preacher, not a denomination, but show me book, chapter, and verse. And please challenge everything that I'm saying. I don't want you to believe this preacher. I want you to, let's look at Scripture. And then for you to get on your knees and ask God through the Holy Spirit to illuminate my mind, what does this say? Not a, what Paul said, didn't want people to be Paulites, right? What's the Scripture say? I want to know Revelation. Continue reading. Mark 7, 8. Or Matthew 15, 9. And in vain they do what? Say it. In vain, that means for nothing, they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of whom? Men. Nothing to do with Scripture. Who agrees? But you're in there. You're singing. You're in the choir every Sunday. Wow, isn't it wonderful? But Isaiah said, no one stops to think, is there a lie in my own hand? Is there a lie in my own hand? They're out there building these wooden idols, and they're making them with the wood. He says, part of it you burn for your food, but the rest of it you bow down and worship to it. He said, they can't even say there's a lie in my own hand. A lie. It's all a lie. I'm deceived. Mark 7, 8. For laying aside the commandment of man, commandment of God that is, you hold the what? Tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do. He said to them, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. You do what? Got to do away with this in order to do what? Get the traditions. You have to do away with what? Watch this. Since the Scripture unequivocally states that it's ontologically impossible to have two independent gods, and we're going to show you that verse in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Okay, say it with me. Where is it found? Revelation 4:11. Since the Scripture unequivocally states that it's ontologically impossible to have two independent gods, the Arminians opted for what? Man's independence, his independent, autonomous free will over God's independent, autonomous free will. Not submitting to what Scripture says about God, they opted for their what? Their own independence. You can only have one independent. And so what did the Arminians do? They opted for what? Say it with me. Man's independence. We've got to make man independent. That's the tradition. That's the whole denomination tradition. What is process theology, open theology, middle knowledge have in common? Say it with me. The libertarian, independent will of man. They have that in common. That's what they all hold up. What are they trying to prove? Can you tell me what they're trying to prove? What's the point of all this? They want to do what? Protect their what? Say it. Free will. Got to protect that at all costs. Got to protect everything. Every verse that talks about God's sovereignty, they're going to twist the Scriptures, as Paul says, and 2 Peter 3:16, they twist the Scriptures to their own destruction. They got to twist it. Every verse in an Arminian study Bible, every verse that says anything about the sovereignty of God, guess what they do? They rob God of His sovereignty. You know why? Can't afford to have God have it. Because if you assert God's independent, what are you doing? Logically, you're taking away man's independence. Does anybody agree with that? You're taking away man's independence if you bring up God's independence. So they want to have man to have independence. Man alone must have this. Let's look at it. Mark 7:13. Making what? The word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. 2 Timothy 3:7. Always learning, but say it with me, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This is what's happening today. We have so much to be thankful for. Do you agree? So much. I mean, to really to be here and to sit here and listen to God's Word and to be want to be honest with the Scriptures. You know, one thing I liked about Erasmus, even though he's Catholic, one thing I liked about him, he said when this whole middle knowledge came around with Molina, when Louis Molina came out with his theory of middle knowledge, and Thomas Aquinas, he taught against it. He said, you can't have God being independent and sovereign and man's free will. The Catholic Church says God is independent and God is all-knowing and man is free, which is blasphemy. But that's what they taught. They said, we can't put it together. It's a mystery. And so he said, we can't put it together. But what he did not do, he did not work out the implications of that theology, because if you really work it out, and which Molina, that's what he did, the Jesuit priest, he said, I'm going to bring in this middle knowledge. God has his, number one, remember from last week, natural knowledge. Say it with me, is what? Natural knowledge, which is necessary knowledge of all things and all possibilities. And then his third knowledge is his free knowledge. He's free to create any way he wants to create with this necessary knowledge. But then Molina said, well, I'm going to bring in this middle knowledge because I want to have a compatibility with the independent, free, autonomous will of man and God's omniscience and his independence. We got to work this thing out. It's got to have a compromise, a compatibility system. So he brought in what? Middle knowledge. And what did middle knowledge say? Let's repeat this from last week. Natural knowledge says what? Come on, say it with me. This is God's what? All his necessary knowledge. All knowing. Possibilities. Everything is in his necessary knowledge. And then you have his, whatever you say, free knowledge. This is where he's free to create. Free to create the world in his necessary knowledge. He's free to create. But Molina said what? Before God gets to his free knowledge, before he starts to create, he stops and looks at his middle knowledge. What's the middle knowledge? You have all these counterfactuals. Say it with me, what are they? Counterfactuals. What are counterfactuals? Hypotheticals. Judas, in this world, Judas will reject Christ. In another world, he will accept Christ. That's called what? Counterfactuals. Maybe the will of the creature might say yes and might say no. So God, in his mind, he takes all the counterfactuals like a huge computer, runs through all the possibilities of everything, because he wants to get the best world that he possibly can based on the free will of the creature. He wants to get the best will he can, the best world he can. So he runs all the possibilities. Then he finally gets a world with the least amount of people in hell and the most amount of people in heaven. And he says, that's the world. Based on my will is what? Dependent, say it with me, dependent upon the will of the creature. So in other words, what's God really saying? Thy will be done. Say it with me, come on. Man's will be done, right? What did the Lord say in Jeremiah 29:16? He says, I believe you got these things backwards, right? In Psalm 50:21, he says, you thought that I was all good like yourself. We've got things backwards. Yeah, I'm the potter and you're the clay. We got to keep that straight. The creature created distinction, right? And so, what are middle knowledge people saying? God is saying to man, say it with me, thy will, come on, be done. So what have you just done? Dethrone God, say it. Dethrone God and what? Enthrone man. But it really isn't man. That's the deceptive part of it. It's really Satan. That's what it really is. It's not really man. All these systems, everything, It comes from the doctrines of demons. It doesn't come from man. It comes from Satan. Satan is the one giving these doctrines. It's his mind for the purpose of what? Deceiving. Say it. To deceive. He wants you to worship who? Himself. What did he say to Jesus? Matthew 4, fall down, sit up on the pinnacle, look at all these worlds, it's all mine. Fall down and do what? Worship me and I'll give it all to you. What does Satan want? Worship. What's God want? Worship. And God wants you to worship him how? In spirit and truth. Truth. God is not a dependent God. Who can say yes to that? He's not dependent. Is he a dependent knower? Come on, talk to me. Is he a dependent knower? Is his knowledge dependent upon anything other than himself? No. Why, again, he said with me, he's eternal. He is all what? All knowing. Pardon?
Beyond
our finite knowledge. What's this? God is not dependent. Because of his nature, he is what? An independent being. He's the only God. You think God wants us to worship him as the independent God or dependent God? Talk to me. Come on. Why? Because that's how he reveals himself, right? What did God took this one king on a deprotifying, I love what John called, he coined this phrase, deprotifying 7-year course. 7-year course to deprotify him, take him off his throne, make him eat grass for 7 years, grow claws, have feathers, like feathers all over his body. Totally insane for 7 years. Totally insane. Totally insane to teach him what? Free will doesn't exist. You think it does. You follow Satan. And you're not really worshiping yourself. Nebuchadnezzar was walking through his whole temple. He looked at this, his whole gardens, the hanging gardens, looking at all this. I, me, mine, whoom. All of a sudden, mine. In a moment, his mind was changed. Because he's a what? Say it. Creature. All of a sudden, he runs out in the weeds, but yeah, he's crazy. And he's right, he was nuts. God made him nuts. After 7 years, God gave him his mind back. He had nothing to do. He didn't go to a Tony Robbins seminar or any Deepak Chopra programs, any Hinduism, any neuro-linguistic programming, any Harvard seminars, have become a millionaire. Nothing about Dwayne Dyer seminars on intentionality. None of these things. God gave his mind back to him. Took his mind away because of what? Him thinking he's independent, autonomous, free will. What does he say when he comes out of it? Daniel 4, 34. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, do what? Lift my eyes to heaven. And what does he say? All the inhabitants of earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will and army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? He does according to his will. Say it with me. He does according to what? His will. His will. His will. Where? In the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? His will. What did Christ teach his disciples? They said, teach us how to pray. What did he tell them? But the very first day, what did he want to get straight in your doctrine? What did he say? Come on, tell me. What was it? How did he start the prayer off? Our Father. Come on. Which art in heaven. What? How to be thy name. What did he say? Thy kingdom come. Thy, say it with me, thy will be done. What's it all about? Say it with me. God's will. Amen? Ephesians 1:11. Who works all things after the counsel of his will. Amen? How many things? Come on. All things. Ephesians 1:11. Say it with me. Ephesians 1:11. Who works. Come on. All things after the counsel of His will. Is there any cooperation in here? Is He cooperating with the creature? Come on, is He? No whatsoever. What's the middle knowledge guys say? What do they say? Well, God takes His middle knowledge. He sees all the possibilities, everything of the free will creature's volition, their choices. And then He sits in, He says, that's it. That's it. I've got it. I've got the world I want. I've got it. And now I'm free to create. Is He free to create? It's according to the counsel of what? The will of the creature. Is He free? How is He independent? He's not. It's all His. To create, He's dependent upon the will of the creature. Does that make sense? That's exactly what He is. There's no what? Independent. It's robbing. What's the purpose of this? It's to exalt the will of man. Come on, sir. What's the purpose? Come on. What is it? To exalt the will of man. Where does that come from? It's Luciferian. It's to protect it. And what do they say? Well, we're protecting God's holiness, and we're protecting His character, and we're protecting Him from the charge of being the cause of evil. Really? That's another whole sermon itself. We'll continue with the sermon. Next verse, 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure, sit with me, sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves, say it with me, teachers. And what will these teachers do? 2 Timothy 4:4. And they will, that these teachers, will turn their ears away from what? The truth. What do you think one of the major things is? Watch this, ready? The truth concerning God's sovereignty. What's the one thing that Satan hates more than anything? The sovereignty of God. Why? It's competition. Right? Who wants to say my will be done? Satan. Right? Who wants to assert his independence? Who wants to get everybody in this doctrine of independence? Satan wants to get every creature into the doctrine of independence. What did Satan do in Isaiah 14? It was his declaration of independence. His five I wills were what? Say it with me, his declaration of his independence from the sovereignty of God. I'm asserting that I am staying coming out from under this, and I'm going to become what? My own God. I'm going to be like God. Let's continue reading. Look at this. Turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Man by nature loves what? Say it with me. Tradition and not the truth, because man has followed Satan in his rejection and hatred of the truth. What did Jesus say about Satan? John 8:42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the what? Truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, our Lord says, you do not believe me. God is seeking people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:22, what's it say? You worship what you do not what? There's a lot of people that are worshiping a God they don't know. They don't, the God of free will, can I tell you something? Doesn't exist. Say it with me. The God of free will does not exist. Now watch, let's get into some logic. Remember, let's just have a quick review of logic. Ready? Watch. When you have two mutually incompatible systems of thought, ready? What I'm asserting in this sermon, that there is no free will. None in the whole Bible. There's not even an argument for it. Not one verse. That God, it can only be have an independent, free, autonomous, self-determined will. It can only be one will. God's will has a cause, but it's himself. He cannot have a cause other than himself. That's not possible. That would have to be an independent cause. It would have to be independent to operate upon him, to obligate him, to influence him. Nothing. God is eternally free from any correlative relationship. Nothing. He is eternally free from a cause-effect relationship. Who heard that? Eternally free from a cause-effect. I can operate upon Debbie. I can do things to cause Debbie to love me more or cause her to love me less. But God is free from that. He's the only one who is self-determined. And that is a hallelujah praise, because God's love for you is self-determined. God's hate is self-determined. It's all with reference to himself alone. It has nothing to do with the creature. And that's the only place for your sanity, for humility, for holiness, for growth, for praise, for constant worship. My salvation, my election has nothing to do with me. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise his name. I never have to give God calls. I never have to ask the question, did I seek? Did I really choose? Did I go after him? Was it me? I never have to examine anything within me to give God cause. Not even my faith. It was given to me. To be consistent with the whole system, it's all free. It's absolutely free. Your faith, your desire to choose him, it's free. He gave it to you. It's on his independent, free, autonomous, self-determined will that was all given to you. That's the only basis to go, thank you. Amen? You go to heaven, here on the earth, the Holy Spirit moves you, brings you to life, causes you to believe, and it says, fruits of the will, take of the water of life freely. I want it, I want it, I want Christ, I want Christ. I'm so wicked, I'm a sinner. Oh, I'm so wicked. As Peter said, get away from me, Christ, I'm a wicked man. That's only the Holy Spirit to illuminate a man in darkness that has no eyes to see, that has no heart, has a heart of stone. Cannot choose him, will not come to life. Oh, Peter says, oh, Lord, get away from me. The Holy Spirit working on him. The Holy Spirit regenerated him, brought him to Christ. And then on that basis alone, could he praise him? How do you come to Christ? He brings you to life. When you get to heaven, you go through the door. I've won it at 20 years old. I'm 63 now, 20 years old. And that little Baptist church, independent Baptist church in Nashville, Tennessee, I heard that cry. I went home to my mother's home, fell on my knees, says, oh, God, I don't want to burn in hell. Oh, I need Christ. I believe he died for my sins, all of my sins. I believe the gospel, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. I believe he's alive. I believe he died for my sins. I take him. I believe the gospel. Oh, God, I believe it. Thank you, thank you. Boom, I was saved. But it had nothing to do with me. He chose me before the foundation of the world. I go through the door, and I look back on the other side of the door, and it says, chosen before the foundation of the world. Amen? Free. Absolutely free. And then who gets all the praise? Who gets all the glory? Who gets all the honor? Say it with me. God. The Trinity. God the Father planned it. Jesus said, what in John 6, 37, all the Father gives to me, say it with me, will come to me. Please say it with me. John 6, 37, all the Father gives to me from eternity. Never happened. When did he begin loving you? Never began. Why? He's eternal. Nothing began with him. Never started loving you. When did he elect you? It's an eternal election. It's an eternal love. It's self-determined. Nothing to do with you. It's not dependent love. It's dependent on his choice alone. I will have mercy. I will Romans 9:18. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. What's he asserting? His independence. Sovereignty. No creature can bring me into obligation. Influence my eternal uncaused will. It's of me that I choose. For my will alone. Someone says, would it be just to God to send us all to hell? Please say yes. Would it be right to damn us all? Please say yes. Do we deserve to burn in hell for eternity? Please say yes. Are people in hell right now? Please say yes. On the basis of the authority of Scripture, people are burning in hell right now. Burning in hell. The psalmist says in Psalm 73:19, he says, I was so upset over people that were unsaved, and they left their wives, said, no problems at all, everything is going great, and what profit is it to me, God? I believe on you, and I serve you, and I love you, and I adore you, but I get no profit, no profit. What good is it, God? What good is it? He says, oh, then God took me to their end. To the end of the unbeliever, the pagan, the Christ-rejecting, the God-hating, the sin-loving, the Satan-worshipping, sinner, depraved, damn sinner. He took me to his end. He says, there I saw God cast him into hell. And there I saw the man is utterly consumed with terrors. Utterly consumed. With terrors. Can you imagine you're there in hell and new souls come in hell all the time? And you're my another one in hell. Another one of the damned just came in hell. And hearing that, hearing it, the damned under God's wrath. Do we all deserve it? Please say yes. Now let me ask another question. If God wanting to choose some out of that, would that be merciful? Come on, would that be merciful? If he said, in my what? Mercy. I choose this. Is he obligated to save all? Please tell me. No. He's not obligated to save anybody. It's of his own good pleasure, his own will, his own choice. It has nothing to do with the creature. Nothing. Now he says, Romans 9:18, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. But then he continues. He says, and I will harden whom I will harden. The human nature reacts to this. It squirms. I don't like it. There's something not right about him self-determined. I love it when it comes to self-determined, that his love is self-determined, but his hate being self-determined, it doesn't fit with me. Naturally it doesn't. Because we're the creature. The creature wants God to answer to some standard, some law, something superior to God. But God does according to his own will. What's our problem? Arminianism has taught us to have a lofty, high opinion of man. And to have a unscriptural, depraved, blasphemous opinion of God. That's our problem in our theology. God can do whatever he wants to with his clay, right? It's his clay. What did he say in his parable in Matthew 20:15? What did he say there in that parable? He says, can't I do what I want to with my own things? Can't I do what I want to? It's my stuff. It's about my glory. Some vessels for wrath, some vessels for mercy. It's all about glorifying my attributes of wrath. What if God, Romans 9:22, what if God wanting to show his wrath. Is it okay, creatures? Is it okay? May I? Please may I? May I display this attribute of wrath? May I? Is it okay with you? There's no permission. He is doing this all for his glory. His wrath as co-equal, co-eternal, co-glorious, from eternity, this attribute, and he is going to display it because it's part of who he is. This is God's nature. He hates evil. Amen? And he will display it. It's all about his glory. Let's continue looking at this. Look. John 4:22-23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking, say it with me, such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him, say it with me out loud, must what? Worship him what? In spirit and what? Truth. There are only two systems of theology, God's theology versus Satan's theology. Or as Scripture says, read with me out loud, 1 John 4:6, we are of God, he who knows God hears us, he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of what? Truth and the spirit of error. If you're in a church that teaches free will, then you are under Satan's system of theology, and you're deceived with reference to the doctrine of God's sovereignty. On the other hand, if you're attending a church that teaches the sovereign grace of God in Scripture, then you have discernment concerning God's sovereignty. I would like to make a disclaimer. If a Christian believes in free will, it does not mean that everything that they believe about the God of Scripture is what? Say it with me. False. However, this doctrine of free will definitely, say it with me out loud, hurt their growth in Christ. Why? Because, say it, God hates what? The doctrine of free will. Purpose. To learn from Scripture, say it, alone, how the doctrine of free will is Satan's system of thought to dethrone God and enthrone Satan. In addition, to learn how to honor our Lord and worship him according to his revelation concerning his what? Sovereign nature. Number one, if you miss the absolute sovereign nature of God in Scripture, then you have missed one of the greatest revelations in all the Bible for your growth in the Lord and your constant worship and praise of his will being carried out in your life. How? Moment by moment. Ecclesiastes 7:14. Say it with me. Ecclesiastes what? 7:14. Please say it again. Ecclesiastes 7:14. In the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. Say it. Consider. Why consider? Think. Because both days are from the Lord. What did Job say to his wife in Job 2:10? And she was talking to him and trying to get him to curse God because she knew if he would curse God, he would die. He said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not evil? What's he saying? The first four things that came into his life, of the Sabaeans, of murdering, and the Chaldeans murdering his servants, then his children being killed, and then his animals, all of his wealth being wiped out, those four, one servant after another, saying four times, boom, God's testing him. Job 7:18, the Lord tests every moment. He's testing. What's he testing on? God's will be done. Right? No accidents, no mistakes. Whatever's come in your life, God's will is there, orchestrating all of it. All of it. No chance, no mistakes. No one comes on the stage in misspoken lines. It's exactly what they're to say. Job 7:18. He tests us every moment. Again, I'm repeating myself. What's the test? God's will or my will? I don't like this. I don't like what's happening in my life. What are you doing? Railing against what? The will of God. What's the test? There's only can be one test. God's will versus your will. Amen? There can only be one. And when you say it's not right, what are you doing? Siding with Satan. You just started worshiping Satan. Unwittingly, inadvertently, you just started worshiping Satan. Don't like the way it's going. Don't like my mate. That's exactly the mate God wants you to have. But she's so stubborn. God, I don't like him. Why don't I marry him? If I don't, he'd always show me all these bad habits before I got married to him. I would have never married him. Never comes out to get married, right? Amen? Oh, God, why do I have to put up with this? God is making you dependent. Driving to your knees. What is Hebrews chapter 2 say that the Lord Jesus Christ's life, his prayer life, was characterized by what? Crying out to the Father. Crying out. It says loud cries. With tears. What's our model for praying? On our knees, crying out to the Father. And what is his life was always? It's the will of the Father. What was it when he came down to the last hour in the Garden of Gethsemane? What was his cry? Luke 22. Oh God, Father, Father. He looks into the cup, metaphorically, of all of our sins, knowing he's going to be treated as if he'd done all that. But perfect, 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 indefectible righteousness. The hypostatic union, impeccable in his humanity, undiminished in his deity, the God-man. The God-man looks at our sins. The Father said, I'm going to identify with you this. In a few hours, you're going to be on a cross. You're going to be treated as if you committed all this. I'm going to regard you as a wicked, vile, rebel, just like them. You're going to be the substitute, their sin bearer, the representative. I'm going to give you the same hell I would give them for eternity in 3 hours. Oh, the blood started coming off of his body, dripping on the ground. Luke 22:44. The blood started coming. The anguish of soul. The doctors understood this and said, as far as they know, he's the only person that's ever lived through that kind of anxiety and the breakdown of the psyche. Here he is. He's crying out. Oh, he looked at it. Damnation. Hate. Wrath. Real wrath. No pretend wrath. No hypothetical atonement. Not just making people savable. He's going to give them an opportunity to be saved. He's really taking their place. Really removing the wrath of God. Really satisfying God's wrath. He's going to endure it. He's going to exhaust it. He's going to end it in that 3 hours. He knows he's going to scream out, it's paid in full. But he knows who's going to go through. He's looking at it. Where does he go? Where does he go? Where does he go? Father, if it be your will, let it pass. Father, but he says, not my will, but your will be done. What's this whole life based on? The will of the Father. Amen? Look in the contrast that we have. What do we have? Satan, the archangel, one of three archangels. And what does he say in Isaiah 14 with his five I wills? I will, I will, I will, asserting his will. And here we see him standing in defiance to what? The sovereignty of God. There's where free will begins. And what do we see? The Son of God. God in the flesh, the God-man, on his knees crying out what? In the greatest, greatest hour adversity of his life, and he says, not my will, but your will be done. Wow, what a contrast. Amen? How do you want to live? As a Luciferian Arminian, or to follow Christ in obedience to the will of the Father? Amen? It's all about his will. Your will be done. Look at this. Let's continue. Ready? Daniel 4:35. All the inhabitants of the earth. Are you with me? Page 2. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does, say with me out loud, according to what? His will. Whose will? Come on. Is there a co-op going on here? Is this God plus the creature? That's what, look, that's what open to our God right here. That's what process theology says. It's a process. They say God does not. Ontology, here's the difference between process theology and open theology. You ready? Who wants to know the difference? Here's the difference. Right here it is. Write it down. The difference between process, we're going to more of this next week, God willing. Process theology and open theology. Process theology says that God does not have a choice with learning from his creatures. God has no choice. That's ontologically, that's who he is by nature. God is limited. He is not omniscient and has nothing to do with choice. No choice whatsoever. Open theology people like the deceased Clark Pennock and starting the open theology in, I think, 1987. but it really goes back further than that. Open theology says, no, God has a choice. God chooses to limit his knowledge. God is not omniscient because he chooses not to be omniscient. It's a choice for him not to know everything. He limits himself by choice. It's twiddle-me, twiddle-um. Both of them agree in what? Libertarian free will. And both of them agree that God is what? Omniscient. Not omniscient. And the middle theology, middle knowledge, they say that God is what? Dependent upon the creature. He's dependent. He's not free to create the way he would like to create independent of the creatures. He's got to go through them and his thy will be done. Now, let's look at some verses here to refute all this stuff. We just read, continue reading in Daniel 4:35. Read again with me out loud. All the inhabitants, what? Of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to, say it, his will, where? In the army of heaven. You think he's doing his will right now in heaven? Is, pardon? Yes, and doing it. It's all eternal.
It's all he does.
It's all he does. He's just being himself. It's God being his. We've got to let God be God. Amen? And then let man be man. Say it with me. Let God be God and let man be man. But until we let God be God, man can't be man. Do you agree? That's why we need what? Revelation. Who is God? They're slinging around all these terms in the theological schools, but no one has biblical meanings. It's Luciferian meanings. When they say that God's omniscient, they haven't worked out their system. You ask them, do you believe in free will? Yes, I do. The process theology and open theology guys have worked it out. If God has given to man independence, which cannot happen because he can't create another God. Did everybody get that? Who missed that? God can't create another God. There's a lot of things he can't do. Can't will himself out of existence, didn't will himself into existence. He can't create another God. He can't create an independent. When you create, it's dependent, right? It's crazy to even talk about this stuff. People are insane. That's why you got to get them into sanity through the scriptures. So watch this. Here you have independence. God is the only one from his nature that's what? Say it. Independent. Everything else is what? Say it. Dependent. He's doing according to his will in heaven because he is sovereign. Say it with me. Come on. He is what? Sovereign. He's just being God. It's God being God. Also where? And among the inhabitants what? Of the earth. John, give us some verses about man's walking and doing things and how he's doing according to his will. Everybody's life in this room.
Not in the man who walks to determine his own path.
The way of man, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not a man who walks to determine his own steps. I think it's what, Jeremiah 10:23 or something like that. So, man's steps, Proverbs 20:21, man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Say it with me out loud. Man's steps are ordered by the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Proverbs 20:21. Say it with me. A man's steps are ordered, ordained by the Lord. How then can man understand his own way? Continue reading. James 1:18. See it? Page 2, is everybody with me? James 1:18. Of his own what? Will he brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. What will is going on here? How many wills? There's only one will. What kind of will is that? Is it a dependent will? Put it in your notes. What kind of will is it? Say it. It is an independent will. Why? It can only be that way, folks. It cannot be any other way. What's this? It's an expose. It's a false system of thought. You're getting it? It's a false system. It's Luciferian. It's idolatry. It's worship of Satan. It's unmasking, an expose of, if you say, I believe free will, you are saying that I'm God. You just dethroned God. Can't have two. Then we said earlier, watch this. In logic, when you have mutually incompatible systems of thought, both could be false. Right? Say it with me. Both could be what? Both could be false. Say it with me again. You have two mutually incompatible systems of thought. Contradictories, right? Free will, that's independent, autonomous will of man, is a contradiction. It's not compatible with what? The independent will of God, right? So both could be what? False. Because we have to look at the Bible and see what it says, right? Both could be false. Or what? One can be true, another false. However, if both are mutually contradictory, both cannot be true. Amen? So it's up to you to do what? Sit with me. Read the Bible. Amen? Are these things that I'm saying, what am I opting for? I'm opting for worshiping God according to what He's saying. Which system do you want to go with, folks? Which one do you want to go with? The one who honors God or the one who makes you God? And you follow Satan in worshiping of his what? Free willism. Let's continue to read. Look at this. Of his own will, James 1:18. He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. John 1:13. Who were born not of blood, nor of what? Of the will of the flesh. Why is he doing this? This is an argument to destroy what? Free will. Does everybody get it? Why is the Holy Spirit giving us all this? He wants to drive it home. It's not your will. You don't have an independent will. Who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of whom? God's will. Romans 9:16. So then it's not of him who what? What's the Holy Spirit doing? Does he want you to get it?
Pretty clear.
Yeah. He really wants you to get it. It's not your will, folks. Romans 9:16 again. So then it is, say it with me out loud. It is what? Not. Say it again. Not. Of him who wills, but of him who runs. Nor of him who runs, but, again, what? Of God who shows mercy. There's one little problem that the Arminians have to, there's one hurdle. Ready? You ready for the hurdle? There's one hurdle they have to overcome. Can I say what the hurdle is? It's called the whole Bible! That's the hurdle! From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. They've got to show me your argument against God's revelation. Your argument does not exist in the Bible. It's from the imagination of Satan. It's called doctrines of demons. That's what it is. Let's continue. Psalm 65:4. Blessed is the man you choose and calls, and what?
Cause
to approach you. Who's glad it's like this? Who's glad it's this way? I'm glad it's this way. I'm glad it's of God. The Armenian is not glad. Can I tell you something? Look, you go into an Armenian girl, had the same sermon, guess what? No hands will go up. Who heard this? No hands will go up, folks. Why? They got to prove something. I've got an independent will. And they've got to protect something at all costs. I've got to protect what? My will. It's autonomous. It's independent. Because in this, there's some kind of godhood attraction. Divinity. What was so appealing to Satan in this whole thing? What's his last of the five I wills? I will be like God. The freedom. The power. The control. I remember times in my life where I would sin as a young person and I felt so good. I felt so free. There were some of the things I did as a kid. I was in fights with some other kids to do some things by stealing stuff and I started doing it and it felt so good. So free. Until what? My mother took me to church. and I heard the word of God. Thou shalt not steal. Oh, I want to hear that. And guess what? Didn't want to go back to church. Because I want to keep on doing what I'm doing. Because it feels good. Look at this. Ready? Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely I have what? Thought. Can we stop right here? Ready? Watch this. People miss this. Why is everything the way it is? God thinks it's so. It's only been thought this way. It cannot be thought any other way. Truth is what God thinks. Your life is what God thinks. You have an identity because God has always thought you that way. There's a, you did not have any part of creating yourself. Where's that pot? Where's my pot? I gotta get my pot. Gotta get my pot. Here's my pot. Here we go. I gotta get my pot. Here we go. What did the pot do? Isn't it such a beautiful creation? Wow, it's amazing how you created yourself. I like what you did there. That's creative. Look at that little spot. Isn't that cute? Look at a little tip right there, what you did. It's amazing. Where are you? Hello, hello, where are you? Did it create itself? Come on, talk to me. No. What does the Holy Spirit do to drive home the idea of independence? He has the metaphor, potter, clay. Potter, clay. Amen? Potter, clay. It had nothing to do with creation. The identity was already in the mind of the potter. And with us, with God being eternal, it's been there from eternity. Continue reading. Look at this. Isaiah 14:24. Surely as I have what? Thought. So it shall come to pass. Can it be any different? You've been thought that way from eternity. Your identity is in the mind of God. Not you. You didn't create. God didn't look at you creating your identity. He's going to be a believer. Come on, let's woo him. Come on, be a believer. Please, please be a believer. Can I tell you something? Well, guess what? Spurgeon would ask the Arminian. He said, does the death of Christ guarantee the salvation of every person? And for an Arminian to be honest and be consistent, he'd say, no. The death of Christ in and of itself did not guarantee the salvation of all people. Then he continued with his logic to drive them to be epistemologically self-conscious, self-consistent, and honest with your theology. He said, number two, my second question. Did the death of Christ in and of itself guarantee the salvation of anyone in particular? And to be consistent, they must say no on the pain of contradiction. No, the death of Christ in and of itself did not guarantee the salvation of anyone in particular. Ergo, therefore, the death of Christ in and of itself guaranteed the salvation of no one. Therefore, everybody could have gone to hell. That's the conclusion. So the cross work of its in and of itself accomplished nothing. Nothing was done. It hangs or falls upon the free will of man. The work, the most important work of God, Him taking His Son, and His Son being identified with our sins, the most important work, the whole thing depends upon the response of a depraved, dead, sin-loving, God-hating, Satan-worshipping sinner. No wonder he says in Romans 3:10, no one sees God. Amen? No one sees God. Look at this. Look at this. We get this in. Can I get this in?
1 minute.
Ooh. Isaiah 14:12. How are you fallen? point number two, bottom of the page. God hates the doctrine of free will because it's blasphemous against His sovereign will. God damned the first creature to hell for all eternity for His declaration of His free, independent, autonomous will, and that creature was Satan. He said, "I was five I wills." The last one, 14:14, says, "I will be like the Most High." Satan's desire was to be like God in independence and freedom, but it was freedom from the sovereign will of God. Satan was the first blasphemer and the first idolater, and all of this evil came from Satan's rebellious idea of free will. Is that it?